Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a disappointing 7-2 loss to the Boston Red Sox in a rubber match matinee. Rangers had an opportunity to win this series today with their ace, with Nate Eovaldi on the bump. It was not meant to be. Rangers will start a very important series with the Houston Astros tomorrow at Globe Life Field. Could potentially be a make or break in the season. I know we're kind of saying that with almost every series at this point, but you feel like even more so with this Houston series. It is going to be interesting. Of course, before we get into everything, all the key moments, the scoring, do a little box score review. Here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether you're live or on the replay. A lot of Rangers content out there. Thank you for choosing Right on Rangers. Your support is much appreciated. If you're not following, if you're not subscribed to the channel quite yet, go ahead, hit that follow or subscribe button. Stay up to date every time we go live. Keep up with all of our latest and greatest content. Let's get into this one. I'll be checking comments throughout. Go ahead and put in anything that you want to talk about, any questions you have. I would love to take all of those comments at some point during the show. If I don't get to them right away, y'all know how the drill goes. Kind of scroll through them periodically in between my own rants. So, hey, again, thanks for joining and appreciate y'all. Let me get to some comments right now, by the way, before I lock into it. Baseball Network, what is up? Man, I'll tell you what, I got this thing pretty much, this hat, Armed Forces hat, right away when they put it out. I love it as well. My brother in the Army, kind of in the family a little bit. My dad was in the Air Force for a little bit of time as well. So love the Armed Forces stuff, 100%, 100%. I wish that they wore it every Sunday. I think the Padres kind of have that going on. They do the military appreciation every Sunday. Wish the Rangers would do it as well. I know that they kind of went with the baby blue today, but I really do wish more teams would just do what the Padres did. I think they still do it for the longest time, military appreciation on a Sunday afternoon. I'd love it. But let's go ahead and let's keep launching in to today. We will keep going with the comments. Natalie, what's up? Thanks for tuning in today. Appreciate you. Comment says, for anybody listening on Apple or Spotify, they did say Langford had back tightness. I saw that too, man. We got both of these early 20-somethings, Langford and Carter, with back issues already at this point in their career. It's a bummer. I know everybody deals with it. I'm being a little bit too harsh. But when I saw that, Wyatt Langford dealing with some back tightness, Evan Carter having some back issues this year as well. It's just a head shaker. It's like another one with back issues. Hopefully it's nothing lingering. I do hope he's back soon. I think they said he could have come off the bench today and done some pinch hitting, but Wyatt Langford getting another day of rest, assuming that they're trying to load him up for that Astros series, a very, very pivotal series in the Rangers year. I definitely think that it's reason for concern. Some of these things can linger, the back issues, hamstring issues. They can linger around if you don't treat them well. We'll see. I would assume Wyatt Langford back tomorrow, but giving him some rest today I think is the right thing to do. The last thing you want is for Wyatt Langford, like Evan Carter, to have this lingering issue throughout the entire season. Let me keep going here. Let me launch into a couple of key points today. Really was a good start, a really promising start to the game. Corey Seager with the solo home run to put the Rangers up 1-0 in the first inning. Josh Young hits a home run in the second inning. And you really kind of felt at that point that maybe the route was on. Maybe this was going to be a day where the Rangers really jump out early, put their foot on the gas. When Josh Young hit that home run, I was feeling very good about the prospects today. Josh Young had two of the three Rangers hits today. Corey Seager continuing to stay hot. He's been hitting home runs left and right of late. In his last seven games, he's hit three. Seags with 10 hits in his last seven, 345 average, 355 OBP in his last seven games. Corey Seager, Josh Young, staying hot amidst a very poor showing by the offense. Offense really came back down to earth today. Again, Seager and Josh Young, the only Rangers to collect hits today. Josh Smith 0 for 4 with a K. Simeon 0 for 3, did draw a walk, but struck out as well. Nate Lowe, uncharacteristically bad night for him in the stretch he's been in. He goes 0 for 4 with 2 Ks. Adolis, the green shoes did not help him out. We talked about the green shoes yesterday. Maybe that was going to unlock something. Obviously, we're just having some fun with it. But Dolly 0 for 3 tonight, or 0 for 4 tonight with 3 Ks. Durant 0 for 3, Haim 0 for 3, Leody 0 for 2, Robbie Grossman came in and went 0 for 1. Just not a great night offensively. 0 for 3 with runners in scoring position. Haim and Tavares had runners in scoring position with two out opportunities. They did not come through. Not a whole lot for us to go through offensively tonight, y'all. I think we can say glad Seager is hitting his stride and continuing to hit the baseball really well. We got on Seager here on the show probably, what, 4 or 5 days ago. When is this guy going to start hitting bombs? We're paying him all these millions of dollars. We need more than just 1 for 4, 2 for 5 with a couple singles. We need bombs from Corey Seager. And he's been providing. He has been producing. Can't get on Corey Seager. The long ball's been there. He's hitting 345 over his past 7 games. Can't get on Corey Seager right now. I do think Adolis Garcia needs to get moved down in the order. I've been saying that. They won't do it. Dolly is hitting 154 in his last 7 games, 193 in his last 15. He's hitting 184 in his last 30. When are they going to move Adolis Garcia down in this order? I don't know when it's going to be. It feels like it's never going to come. If you haven't done it at this point, I don't know when the Rangers are actually going to decide to do it. Dolly is not a guy you want batting in the top five right now. I don't care if the guy hits a home run tonight against the, or tomorrow night against the Astros. I'd say the same thing. There's enough body of work that Dolly needs to get moved down. Look, nobody hit well today. I think we can say that very, very truthfully. Nobody hit well today. So maybe it's a little unfair to be singling out Adolis, but the 3Ks, the sustained suck over the last 30 games, and that is what it's been. Why aren't you moving this guy down? I don't think there's a whole lot of better options out there. Don't get me wrong. I don't love any of the options below him right now. Nate Lowe, I think they're doing well to be moving him up above Dolly. When Wyatt Langford comes back, presumably tomorrow, I would like to see Wyatt 4, Nate Lowe 5, Dolly 6. And maybe you even think about dropping Dolly down to 7. That's what I would be doing at this point. Aaron, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in today. Aaron says, Garcia's just stale, and it's so frustrating. It is. It is hard to see him waving at bad pitches. It's hard to see him struggling this much because he's such a beloved Texas Ranger for what he did for us in the postseason last year. And I think we're beyond the pat on the butt. Oh, Dolly, you were so good in October. It doesn't matter how bad you suck this year. We're just going to love you and support you forever. I think any true Rangers fan is always going to love Adolis for what he did in October. And if you critique or if you say that Dolly's been bad, that doesn't make you any less of a fan. There's a lot of sensitive Rangers fans that don't want Dolly getting criticized at all. I don't get it. The stats just speak for themselves. The guy's hitting under 200 in his last 30 games, and they keep parading him out as a cleanup or five-hole hitter. He's not this year, and that's okay. It's okay to hit Dolly 6th or 7th. I don't understand why they're so hesitant to do it. I think Nate Lowe should be hitting 5th, Wyatt Langford 4th, when Wyatt Langford returns from the back tightness issue. Wyatt has not been great over his last 15 games either. I believe he's hitting under 200 as well. So Wyatt Langford might not be the answer in the 4th spot either, but right now I think you definitely can't be hitting Dolly any higher than 6. And with Wyatt coming back, it might be a natural opportunity to slide him down a spot. Let me keep going here. Another comment. Thoughts on the relief pitching. Thank you for the comment, by the way. Appreciate you tuning in. I think, once again, and y'all have heard me rail on Bochy and Maddux for doing this to some of our bullpen guys. And I said on the live, I think it was 2 nights ago, I told y'all on the live, please don't bring Pennington into a tight ball game with runners on base. What do you know? Sure enough, every time a Rangers pitcher gets called up, whether it's Cole Winn, Owen White, and now Walter Pennington, they just refuse to give those guys a clean inning to come into in a semi-low pressure situation. So Cole Winn came in with the bases loaded against the Astros earlier in the season. I mean, against our arch rival, bases juiced, clean up the mess. I don't understand why they keep doing this to some of these guys. I think, and I'd love to be wrong, but I think it messes with the development of some of these young pitchers. This is Walter Pennington's, did they say it was his second career game in the majors? Walter Pennington has not started, but has appeared in 2 major league games now. So this was basically his major league debut a second time around because he's been in the minors for a while. So you bring him in a one-run ball game with runners on against a really good Red Sox team. That's his baptism into the Rangers organization. I mean, you just can't make it up. I just hated the move to bring Pennington into a spot like this. I don't care if it was lefty on lefty or whatever the case may be. I just think this was a terrible moment to bring Pennington into the game. Exactly. Aaron, I can't agree with you more here. I was fuming when they brought Pennington in. Bring him in a 3-4 run deficit. Maybe you bring him in up 3 or up 4. You don't bring Pennington in to clean up Nate Eovaldi's mess. And Bochy, I did get to watch the post game. Bochy basically said he didn't want to see Evo grind out anymore in that inning. Look, does any Rangers fan want to see Walter Pennington in that spot rather than Evo? I think every Rangers fan could live with Evo giving up more runs in that sixth inning. All of us could have lived with that, 100%. And I think all of us would have felt better about Evo's chances to get out of that jam, even though he created it, than giving the ball over to a guy that had one major league game of experience under his belt. I don't know why Bochy and Maddux continue to bring in rookies into the worst situations. Again, Cole Winn earlier this season, and he hasn't been good in his major league appearances with the Rangers. He's had a few good moments, but they bring Cole Winn in. Look, it actually worked out for Cole Winn. It actually worked out for him. But there's other guys, too, I can think of. Again, Owen White's another one. You bring these young guys, these rookies, into these pressureful situations, expecting it to go well. I just don't get it. I really don't. Now, let me keep on rolling here. I would like to say, beyond that, relief pitching, looking at the rest of it, Brock Burke, another guy. I don't understand when you talk about, and let me go back to something that I harped on. We DFA'd Jonathan Hernandez, but we held on to Brock Burke. I mean, Jonathan Hernandez easily could have came into this game and probably pitched pretty decent. I have no clue why we DFA'd Hernandez, but held on to Brock Burke. I know he had 3 Ks today, but Brock Burke gives up the home run pretty immediately coming into this one. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I just was not a fan of what the Rangers decided to do today with the bullpen. I know that the bullpen was taxed. 100% understand that every player worth his salt in our bullpen pitched yesterday. Could you have still probably have pitched one of those guys instead? Absolutely. But you do have the Astros series coming up. That did throw a little bit of a wrench into it, but couldn't have been more displeased with how the bullpen was set up today. I know Bochy is just going to say there's a lot of guys that are tired. We want to save them for the Astros series. Didn't want Evo to grind it out. I really don't love how they decided to unfold this one bullpen-wise. Again, every Rangers fan, I appreciate John. Thanks for tuning in. I'll read the comment off in just a second. I really don't understand why you wouldn't have just let Evo deal with it. I can almost say guarantee. I don't want to be too hyperbolic or exaggerate here, but I don't think Evo gives up a home run in that spot. I really don't. I don't think Nate Eovaldi is giving up a 3-run bomb like Walter Pennington did in that moment. And look, you brought Pennington in for lefty on lefty, and he still gives up the home run to a guy that isn't even at the top of the Red Sox order. So let me keep on going here. John says it was Evo's mess. He should have cleaned it up or at least tried to. 80 pitches in 4 innings. He was cruising until the wheels fell off. He had a tough couple of first innings. They really made him work. And I listened to Evo post-game. Basically, what Evo was saying is he wasn't locating the high fastball. He was trying to set up the splitter and the curveball with the high fastball, and he wasn't locating the high fastball. And it was getting him into deep counts that he wasn't able to execute pitches on in some 3-2 and 2-2 counts. So Evo took responsibility. I loved it. Really humble guy. It's just hard not to love Evo. Leader of this team. Of course, he's going to go out there and take responsibility. But I think all of us fans know what the main problem was today. There was no offensive production. There were 3 hits that were tallied today, and 2 of them came from Josh Young. You're just not going to win a lot of ball games that way. So as much as Evo wants to take responsibility for not pitching well, you're not going to win a lot of games scoring 2 runs. You're just not. Aaron says, it's just like they are going with the flow at this time of the season and trying to get to the next game to make up for it. I really do feel like at some point they do have to make a decision as an organization. Are we out of this, or are we going to continue to try and scrape wins out? And I don't feel like today was a scrape a win out. I feel like it was, hey, we're going to try and set ourselves up well for next series. You just don't have those luxuries right now. I think somebody from yesterday needed to pitch today, whether it be Spores, Leclerc, Robertson, Yates. Somebody needed to pitch again today in a tight ball game. And you know what? You say, hey, we'll see how it goes. Maybe the offense can piece it together. But in a 3-2 ball game to bring Pennington in, again, I think you say, let's let Evo go. Let's let Evo ride this one out and let's see what we get. I think Evo would have been more than okay getting an opportunity to finish that inning versus Walter Pennington coming in. I think this team does have to kind of decide, are we going for this or are we not? Because bringing in Pennington and Burke back to back, I know Burke at that point, it's a 6-2 ball game. That probably is a spot you want Burke coming in. But Pennington, your second game as a major leaguer, really? I mean, that's the spot you want to bring him into? Don't love it. Just don't love it. Kale, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. I don't see them making a lineup change during 2024. The remainder of 2024 feels like an audition for 25. You can't go into 25 with the Dolis a middle-of-the-order bat. The Rangers have to be looking for improvements outside of the organization. Let me go ahead and read the rest here because I know it got cut off a little bit. They have to be looking for improvements outside of the organization. And Kale says Evan Carter, probably not going to cut it. I think that's probably still a little bit to be determined, but I understand the frustration. I don't see this offseason being... I'm just trying to sift through. Don't see the Rangers moving on or maybe making a lot of acquisitions this offseason. Ownership is a little bit cheap. Players seem to magically find their love for the game again in contract years. I think there's some truth to that. I do think Dolis needs to move down. I don't know. Dolis got paid this year. We got him under contract for another year. I do think he needs to move down in the order 100%. Baseball Network says, I feel like the Rangers, once they're down 3, they just stop. Now, yesterday, they didn't. Yesterday, they actually came back from a 3-run deficit. But if you look at the season as a whole, yes, they struggle to come back in games, no doubt. The green shoes with the Dolis, John says, I guess they aren't the answer. Almost got the golden sombrero today. And of course, John and I were having some fun yesterday. Dolis needs to just keep wearing those green shoes because clearly they're working for him. But apparently it goes a little bit deeper for Dolis in the struggles than his shoe choice. I mean, apparently it's a little bit deeper than that. I think we all knew that going into this, but Dolis' struggles are well documented. He needs to move down in the order. We've said it so many times. I just don't know if the Rangers are going to do it for whatever reason. I would love for somebody to point blank ask him, Boach, when is Dolis moving down? Nobody wants to be that edgy or rude with him. I think you could be diplomatic. Boach, Dolis is hitting under 200 his last 30 games. Has there been a consideration to moving him down in the order beyond the 5 spot? I think if you ask him that, sure, Bochy could fire back, get a little butthurt about it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that question. Dolis hitting under 200. Has there been any thought to drop him down to 6th, 7th in the order and allow some other guys to come up? You know what he'd probably say is there's not really anybody else that's deserving of it. And he wouldn't be totally wrong, although Nate Lowe, I think, clearly needs to be hitting above him at this point. So I think if they do go Langford, Lowe, Dolis, I don't think there's really a whole lot else Rangers fans can be upset about. As much as we love guys like Heim and, you know, some of the other guys too at the bottom of the order, they don't probably need to be hitting above a Dolis at this point. Jonah Heim, big hit yesterday. Again, collectively, don't know how much better Jonah Heim is really going than Dolis right now. I do agree with this. Aaron says, at worst, Evo would have let one run in rather than what Pennington did. I think it's probably 4-2 if you leave Evo in. I think maybe somebody gets another hit in that spot and brings across a 4th run. I don't think Evo gives up a 3-run bomb by any means. I don't think that would have happened. So, Aaron, I tend to agree with you. I think Evo 100%. I know a few other people agreed in the comments. Should have just let him ride that one out. If he gives up, you know, 3 runs in that spot and it's 6-2, yes, pull him. But let him get out of his own mess. He is a guy that can do that, and I think should have done that, considering what the Rangers had lined up behind him. Pennington, Burke, you know, Garabito. Garabito's actually been pretty solid. He's got a 0.9 ERA. Now, he hasn't been in pressure situations. I probably would have rather have seen Garabito come in. The guy's got a 0.9 ERA, and at this point, he has pitched in close to double-digit games. I shouldn't say that. It's six innings. Double-digit innings is probably more accurate. He's pitched 10 innings in the bigs, and he's given up one earned run. I mean, at what point were you thinking about going to Garabito before you go to Pennington? Pennington's been great in AAA. I think we can all agree that AAA is different than the majors. Pennington coming in a 3-2 game with runners on base, cleaning up a mess, it's borderline criminal. I don't throw that out all the time. There's been a few moments where I've thrown out that word when it comes to managerial decisions. It's borderline criminal that Pennington came in to his second major league game, his Rangers debut, with runners on first and second, trying to clean up a mess against a very good Boston Red Sox team. Did not love it. I don't care how taxed the bullpen is. I would have rather gone Garabito there than Pennington. Would have rather Evo just finished out that inning. But I digress. We got to keep things rolling here. I think it's probably better, unless y'all want to continue to vent out, which I'm happy to do with you, but it's probably better for us to start moving on. I will say this. Let's focus on some positives. Nate Lowe, top of the ninth inning. I don't know how many of y'all were still watching at that point. Nate Lowe made an outstanding play in the top of the ninth inning, going back on a fly ball. Rob Refsnyder kind of hit one of those balls in no man's land that's right in between like the second baseman, right fielder, and first baseman. Nate Lowe, pretty much full sprint, catches it over his shoulder for the out. Love that play. That was phenomenal. Love seeing Josh Jung getting a couple of knocks today. I think Josh Jung is another guy that needs to be hitting above Adolis Garcia at this point. Josh Jung's numbers are really inflated right now, but if it was me at this point, here's the ideal lineup. Josh Smith, Siegs, Simi. Let's go Wyatt Langford, Nate Lowe, kind of interchangeable maybe. Josh Jung sixth. Maybe you hit Josh Jung fifth at some point. But for right now, I'd move Josh Jung up to sixth, and I would have Dolley hitting seventh. And then any combination of Jonah Heim, Leody Taveras, or Robbie Grossman, if it's a lefty, you know what I mean. But I think that Josh Jung, Nate Lowe, Wyatt Langford all need to be hitting above Adolis at this point. Josh Jung, two hits today, home run, double. Great to see Josh Jung getting on base and then hitting the bomb. Hopefully that is the sign of good things to come for him as he works his way back into consistent big league play. You, of course, had Corey Seager doing his thing. We already told you all the stats on Seager. He is kind of on one of those hot streaks right now. Three homers in his last seven games, hitting .345 over the last seven. Corey Seager is absolutely in one of those grooves right now at a time where the team really needs for him to be in one. So those are the positives today. I think you could also throw in Garabito going an inning in a third, one hit allowed. A strikeout, no walks. Pennington was really the only guy that had walks today. He walked three different guys. Just a rough outing for him. Otherwise, Burke, no walks. Garabito, no walks. Evaldi had one walk today, which ended a pretty wild no-walk streak for him. So positives there. Garabito, his outing, liked what I saw from him. Even Evo's outing today, 66 strikes, 99 innings pitched. Hard to complain with that. I mean, 66 strikes, 67% strike rate. Evo, I don't think, was really all that bad today. It just looks worse because Pennington gives up the three-run bomb, when Evo exits the game because he had the base runners in. Evo still is a little too susceptible to the long ball, in my opinion. At this point, I'd really like to see him go a start without giving up a home run. He gave up two today. But I think by and large, Evo was throwing a lot of strikes today. Probably would have got away with this one without giving up more than four runs. I think he probably could have gotten out of that. All it takes is a splitty and somebody rolls over on it, double play ball, and Evo's right back in business in that fifth inning, or in that sixth inning, excuse me. But I think the positives for today have to be Josh Jung and the good things he did up at the plate today. I think you also have to look at some guys in the pitching box score. Evo, 66 out of 99 pitches thrown for strikes. Garabito going an inning and a third scoreless, 0.9 ERA on the year. Corey Seager, I think let's accentuate some of those things as we look to flush this one out and go for the Astros series preview here in just a second. I'm going to keep on checking things out here. Mike, what's up? I did hear about Phillips, Brett Phillips, who played for the Rays 4 years ago in the World Series. He's throwing like 97 mile an hour fastballs now in the minor leagues. That'd be pretty crazy. Natalie asks, what do you think the plan is for Carter? I think that the plan is to just shut him down this year, barring a Rangers postseason run. Rangers getting hot September and into August as well, maybe making the playoffs, maybe in October they bring him back, but I think they're pretty apt to shut him down. So I think the plan is for him to still be a pretty big contributor at the big league level. I think they just got to get him right. They just got to get him right at this point. Let me keep going here. Aaron says, I put Garcia on the bench till he realizes that he needs to step up and produce more rather than just swinging at every pitch down and away. That pitch has been so bad for him. So I'm glad you brought that up. I just don't think there's going to be any prettier option. And so, Aaron, the only reason why I'm not an advocate of benching Garcia is I really don't think there's a better option. So we bench Garcia. You've got Robbie Grossman. And I don't know if you want Robbie playing every day. And then you've got Jankowski. There's just not a lot of great options right now if you bench Dolly. I do think they need to go ahead and move him down in the order. Don't know if I'm quite on the benching train yet. Keeps going the way it is, I might for sure advocate for a platoon. I think for right now, what they need to do is at least move him down to 7-8-9, somewhere in there. If you're not going to bench him, 7-8-9, I think would be great. John, I caught this a little bit, but I wasn't able to look at it all before I got on the live. Aaron did a dive on home runs that the Rangers have hit that were solo shots. 66 out of 122. So Rangers are just not getting on base enough. So when Seager is hitting a home run, when Josh Young's hitting a home run, they're only solo shots and they're really not making the impact that they could be if there were guys on base. Totally understandable how the Rangers are where they are right now, not scoring a ton of runs, although they did have, 13 over their last two games. It's very understandable at this point. That is very telling. Appreciate that, and I'll make sure I get on after the live and thank Aaron for those stats 100%. Yeah, it's just really, really unfortunate. And when Seager, I think if you guys remember, Seager was hitting like when he was on that 8 homers and 8 game streak, I think there was like 5 of the 8 or 6 of the 8 were solo shots. You just can't make it up. It's just really, really a big bummer that they cannot get guys on base when we are hitting homers like this. And look, that probably goes to Josh Schmidt. That goes to some of the guys at the bottom of the order for Corey Seager. I really, really wish that the Rangers were able to get on base at a little bit of a better clip for some of these guys. Now, the offensive output was better, I would say, on both Friday and Saturday. Was not good today. This looks like the Rangers team that we've been seeing a majority of the games, a majority of the losses that the Rangers have had. Let's talk about the Astros series. I think we can move on here. Astros did lose 2 out of 3 to the Rays. And that's fortunate. The Mariners actually had pretty epic comeback last night and were able to beat the Phillies in extra innings, unfortunately. Thought that was going to be a really nice opportunity for the Rangers to gain a game on both teams. Phillies are beating the Mariners 6-0 right now. It's the bottom of the 9th out in Seattle. Mariners do have one runner on base with nobody out, but the Phillies hold a 6-run lead. So I think we can assume Phillies probably are going to get a win there. So the Rangers don't lose any ground in the division today. No ground lost in the division today. But nevertheless, Rangers miss out on some opportunities. The Rangers could have been 4.5, 3.5 out. Instead, it is looking like the Rangers are going to go into the Astros series back 5.5 games. And the Astros have a, looks like, 4.5, 3.5 game lead. I think it'll be, so let me do the fast math here. It'll be a 4.5 game lead for second place on the Rangers. So with a Rangers sweep, which I think is pretty ambitious for me to put out there right now, but humor me, if the Rangers were to sweep the Astros at home, they would be a game and a half back of Houston in the standings. They would be a game and a half back, and then we'd have to see how the Mariners would do. You figure the Mariners probably at least win one game, so maybe the Rangers could potentially be 3.5 out by the time they're done sweeping the Astros. This is just best case scenario, y'all. So best case scenario with the sweep, we're a game and a half back of second place, and we're probably 3.5 games back of the Mariners, which I think would be very, very doable and fine, because we have 7 games left against the Mariners right now. I don't know if y'all realize that, but we've got, I think, 7 games, at least 6, if not 7 games left against the Mariners. So if you can just get within 3-4 games by the time you play the Mariners, you're in business. Winning this Astros series 2 out of 3 would be huge. If you sweep the Astros, even better. And the Astros, they're coming off a series where they did not play particularly well against the Rays. We have actually cleaned up against the Rays when we played them. Rangers can win this series against the Astros. If they were to sweep, that would be, I don't want to say season changing, but very close to it. You sweep the Astros here, a lot of positive good things can happen, especially with 2 series left against the Mariners. You're not going to hear me get on here and do the Rangers funeral until they are pretty close to mathematically out of it. I'm not going to be proclaiming anything on here until they're out of it, because it's just hot takes at this point. And we all saw how quickly the 10-game lead absolutely evaporated for the Mariners back in, what, late June, early July? Mariners were up 10 games on the Rangers. That evaporated. So with the Rangers having 2 series left against the Mariners and 1 series left coming up tomorrow against the Astros, nobody should be proclaiming the season over at this point. It's just not feasible or possible. If the Rangers were to win both of those series against the Mariners down the stretch, you're talking about them being right back in the division race. As crazy as it sounds, for as bad as the Rangers have played over the past whatever, however many amount of games you want to call it, I guess maybe we would say what, over the last 10, 11, 12 games, hasn't been great. You lost to Toronto. You got swept. You lost 2 out of 3 in St. Louis. You lost 2 out of 3 at home, so you've lost 3 series in a row. You swept the White Sox. You lost the Baltimore series. So Baltimore, Toronto, St. Louis, Boston, you've lost 4 of the past 5 series. You had the sweep of the White Sox kind of in the mix there, but the Rangers have lost 4 of their last 5. That's not good baseball, y'all. So there's not a ton we can point to suggest that the Rangers are going to come out and kill it in this Astros series. But with that being said, are they a team that's capable of winning 2 out of 3 against the Astros? Yes, they are. If they take 2 out of 3 against the Astros, is my mind going to be blown? Am I going to be shocked? No, by no means. I would be a little bit surprised in a very good way with a sweep, but I'm not going to be surprised if the Rangers win this series. I'm just not. I think the Rangers have plenty of talent to win baseball games, to win series, to stack wins. They just haven't done it yet. And I was listening to the radio guys today, Jared Sandler, syncing up with the MLB TV broadcast, or the Bally broadcast, I should say. And Jared made a good point. He said kind of just what I said. This is a team capable of going on streaks of winning. You just don't know if the Rangers are going to do it in the time that they have left. Are they capable? Yes. Like, I would say there's some teams out there in the majors. No, I don't think they're capable of stringing together 5, 6, 7 wins in a row or winning 3, 4, 5 series in a row. I do think the Rangers have that kind of talent on the team. It's really just a matter of, are they going to execute? And I know that might be an oversimplification, but the Rangers, they've still got some very good hitters on this team, y'all. Josh Young, Corey Seager, Marcus Semien. I would put Nate Lowe in that category. Wyatt Langford has big hitter potential. They've got some guys that are good hitters on this team. But at this time, it's like put up or shut up. You gotta do something. All right, we can talk this one all day long, but the bats got to come alive. And you know what? This Houston series, I think, is pretty big. Again, if they lose this series or get swept, I don't think that I'm going to get on here and proclaim the season over. I got to see what Seattle does. But I can't say I'm going to be feeling very confident in the Rangers' prospects with a series sweep. You lose 2 out of 3. I still don't know. Still don't know if I'm getting on here and saying it's all the way over. Because if they lose 2 out of 3, that would put them at, what, only about 4 games back of Houston. They're 3.5 back right now. So if you were to lose 2 out of 3, that would put you at 4.5 back. I don't know if I'm ready to proclaim 2 out of 3. 3 out of 3, now you're 6.5 back from Houston. I don't know if I'm thinking the Rangers are going to have a great shot at coming back from that. We're talking about, you know, not quite miracles, but it would have to be pretty miraculous for the Rangers to make up a 6.5 game deficit. Because right now, again, we went through the standings. Right now, the Rangers are 4.5 games behind the Astros. So look, I lied. 7.5 games back if you take the sweep. I really don't think the Rangers are coming back from 7.5 back of Houston if you get swept. So I would probably get on here and say it's very unlikely. I do think at this point the Rangers are going to need to start making some decisions with next year in mind, whatever that means. Call up some guys, give some guys some playing time that maybe you want to take a look at before you make 2025 decisions. If you're 7.5 back of Houston with what at that point it'll be 50 games left. It'll be like 47 games. So you have 47 games left and you're 7.5 out. That's tough. That's really, really tough. Not impossible, but tough. So I think the sweep would be worst case scenario. I think 2 out of 3 would not be good in the slightest. Rangers win 2 of 3 or sweep the Astros, you're in a great position with 6 or 7 games left against the Mariners. Aaron says he's going to have the broom ready just in case. Look, nothing's going to shock me in this series. And I would encourage every Rangers fan to feel the same. Don't be surprised if they take 2 out of 3 or sweep and everybody's feeling like we're back in it. Don't be surprised if they lose 2 out of 3 or get swept. Nothing is going to shock me with this Rangers team anymore. Just nothing. Let me go ahead and keep things rolling here. Let's go through the matchup for tomorrow. I know Heaney is going for the Rangers tomorrow. I don't know who Houston is throwing off the top of my head, so I'm going to pull it up right now. By the way, that game will be a 7:05 Texas time start. 7:05 Texas time start. 5:05 out here for me. Looks like Hunter Brown is going to be throwing for the Houston Astros. Let me go ahead and go to his game log here. So April 5th, he pitched against us, went 3 innings, gave up 5 earned runs, 4 walks. So he lost his first game against us. We faced him on July 12th, and he went 6 innings, 2 earned runs, home run allowed, 2 walks, and he actually got the win. So he is 1-1 against us this season. One really bad start, one really good start. We'll take a look and see what he's been doing in his last 7 games. Last 7, he's actually pitched really well. 5-2, 3.02 ERA for Hunter Brown, Houston Astros probable starter for tomorrow in his last 7 games. He did get roughed up against the Pirates in his last start. He went 5 2/3, 9 hits, 2 walks, 4 earned runs. So maybe we're catching him at somewhat of a good time. And this is a guy that the Rangers have had success off of in the past. So we'll see. This could be a good matchup for the Rangers. Now, if we look at how the Rangers have fared against Hunter Brown in their careers, the numbers go something like this. And then we'll do the same thing with Andrew Heaney, by the way. So we have Zeke Duran, 1-for-4. Dolie looks like 3-for-11 with a home run and 4 RBI. Don't think we'll see Robbie Grossman tomorrow, but he's 0-for-2. Jonah Heim, 2-for-10. Jankowski, maybe we'll see El Blondie tomorrow. He is 3-for-7 in his career versus Brown. Josh Young, 0-for-5. Carson Kelly, 1-for-3. Wyatt Langford, 1-for-5. Nate Lowe, 1-for-12. Oof, that doesn't look good. 0.83 batting average against Hunter Brown is Rangers first baseman Nate Lowe. Corey Seager, the numbers are very good. Seegs is 4-for-11, with a home run and four RBI. Marcus Semien's numbers are off the chart. So maybe some Marcus Semien props are looking good tomorrow for the game. Semien is 9-for-14, 9 or 10-for-14. He has a 714 batting average against Hunter Brown in his career with a 1.519 OPS. So Marcus Semien could be a big day for him tomorrow against probable starter for Houston Astros and Hunter Brown. Josh Smith is 2-for-6 and Leody is 2-for-11 in his career. Now on the other side, Andrew Heaney. He is a little bit of a mixed bag against this Astros lineup. Altuve, 295 and 44 career at-bats with two homers. Yordan Alvarez, 10-for-20 against Andrew Heaney, probably a guy you need to circle. Although Yordan has been a little bit up and down this year, it seems like he always turns it on for the Texas series. But Alvarez on the year, hitting 301, still a very, very good hitter. 308 in his last seven games. But let's keep things rolling here. Bregman, 325 average, sorry about that. Two homers and 40 at-bats. We've got Diaz, 0-for-9, the catcher. Dubon is hitting something like 3-for-18, 222 average. McCormick is 2-for-9. Myers, 1-for-5, although one of those was a home run. Pena, 231 average and 13 career at-bats. So it's basically the best hitters on the team, right? Altuve, Alvarez, Bregman. Kyle Tucker, still not activated, although I think he's getting pretty close to being back. Let me see if I can get some Kyle Tucker news and see when he's coming back. Clutch Points, cryptic Kyle Tucker injury update, whatever that means. Kyle Tucker, by the way, has been out with a right shin contusion. I think he fouled off a baseball against his leg. They say it's kind of day to day. Don't know if we're going to see him in the series. It looks like probably not, although there's some kind of theories out there that the Astros are just giving Kyle Tucker some extended rest, and then they're going to bring him back later on. So I don't know. There's some interesting Kyle Tucker theories out there right now, but I don't think we're going to see him. So really, you just got to watch out for the three main guys. Andrew Heaney's pitched pretty well against everybody else in the Astros lineup, but Altuve, Alvarez, Bregman have all hit him pretty well and have hit homers off of him. Andrew Heaney coming off of a little bit of a rough start in his last appearance. So last time out, Andrew Heaney, 4 1/3 against St. Louis, 6 earned runs, had a couple of little tough luck things mixed in there, if you ask me, but Andrew Heaney was not great his last time out. Toronto, he also had a little bit of a rough start. So we're hoping Andrew Heaney can bounce back and give us one of those patented, you know, 1-2 run, 6-inning, 7-inning outings from Andrew Heaney. Would be nice to see him get a little bit of a bounce back start here after two starts in a row against the Blue Jays and the Cardinals that have not gone so well. So we will see what Andrew Heaney brings to the table tomorrow night against the Astros. Looking at his game log, though, Andrew Heaney has started against the Astros a couple of different times. So April 8th, he went 3 2/3, gave up 6. April 13th, he went 3 2/3, gave up 2 runs. So the first two starts of the year against Houston were not very good. But he came back on July 12th at the Juice Box and went 5 strong, 2 earned runs, did give up 2 homers, but had 5 Ks in 5 innings. So his last start against Houston was pretty solid. So hopefully he can build off of that and have a quality start against the Astros at Globe Life Field. Hope that the Astros will not have the same success that they've been enjoying at Globe Life, especially in 2023. I hope that this is the series that the Rangers can continue to dominate, take control of this Silver Boot series. They won the last series in Houston right before the All-Star break against the Astros. Hopefully they can take some of that success and confidence built and go out and win 2 out of 3 or sweep that series. Maybe it's too much to ask, but I sure would love to see a sweep right here, y'all. That could be a potential season saver, 100%. All right, let me keep things going here, and let me go to the standings around the league. I think and hope that the Phillies locked down that game against the Mariners. They were leading 6-0 in the 9th inning. Looks like that game did go final with the Phillies winning 6-0. I think they snapped a 6-game losing streak, the Phillies did. So right now, the standings going into Monday's game against the Astros. Rangers are 5.5 game back of first place, 4.5 back of second place. The wild card, I think, is all but gone. The Rangers are 9.5 games out of a wild card position. With 50 games left, I would say the odds are looking pretty slim that that is going to be a possibility. You never know, but I would not feel very confident about the Rangers having a wild card opportunity. Let's go to around the league here, and then I'll check comments, and we will get off for today and look for a better Right on Rangers Live tomorrow talking about a Rangers win, hopefully. So around the league today, Jackson Holliday hits his second career home run against the Guardians. Baltimore wins their 67th game, beats the Cleveland Guardians in Cleveland. Jackson Holliday hitting well since getting recalled. Skeens grinds through his shortest start of the season. So Paul Skeens not quite himself today. The Pirates lost 6-5, and Paul Skeens looks like went 5 1/3, only gave up 2 earned runs, but walked 3, so 8 base runners and 5 1/3. Wasn't Paul Skeens' best day. He still got a sparkling 1.99 ERA, does Paul Skeens. Incredible rookie season for that guy. Melendez rescues the Royals with a pinch hit 3-run homer to beat the Tigers. The Twins send the White Sox to their 20th straight loss. I'm serious, y'all. If you've just bet the White Sox to lose every single game, $100 on them for the last 20 games, I wonder what your profit would be. The White Sox lose their 20th game in a row. All right. My goodness. Tough to be a White Sox man right now. Let's see. Chapman for the Giants. Giants third baseman does it all to seal series win over the Reds. So the Giants kind of teetering right around 500 right now. They get a win today, complete the series win over the Reds. And unfortunately, Willier, the guy who hit 2 home runs off us today, gets on the front page for helping the Red Sox get their series win of the Rangers. And that is how the headlines finish out for today. Let me check out our comment section. Let me go through TikTok. I've kind of been neglecting you guys today. I know I got a few people who are still hanging out. Let me go through comments here, see if I missed anything. Somebody on TikTok said the Rangers are done for this year. Missed a major opportunity at the deadline. I do wish they would have added a bat. So again, comment from TikTok. Somebody basically said they really wish Rangers would have added a bat. I do think that would have been ideal, y'all. I think they could have really benefited from acquiring another outfielder, at least a guy that could DH. Maybe you have Josh Smith play the outfield in that case. I do think they missed out on an opportunity. I think the fear probably was you go give up some capital in the farm system for a bat. You still don't make the playoffs and you end up looking a little foolish. But I do think the Rangers would have been wise to go out and add a bat, no doubt. Let me keep going on TikTok here. It's not Boch, it's the freaking offense. So inconsistent. The trend continues. I will say Bochy's move to put Pennington in, I wasn't in love with it, but that's just us being a little bit picky. I think I was pretty clear. You're not going to win a lot of games scoring 2 runs. You're not. Do I think that the move to bring in Pennington in that 6th inning really put the game out of reach? Yes, I do. I think the fact that they decided to go to Pennington, a rookie making his second career major league performance in a 1-run game against a very good Boston Red Sox team, was not the right decision. Do I think it's what lost them the game? Probably not. I don't think there's any guarantee the Rangers would have come back, even from a 3-2 deficit with this lineup. Is there a much better chance? Yes. But no, I don't put the loss on Bochy. I think the offense has got to wake up in these big games and in these big moments. This would have been a big opportunity. You win this game and you're only down 4.5 in the division. You're only out 4.5 games instead of 5.5. And you're 3.5 behind the Astros going into a huge series against the Astros. So no, I don't put the loss on Bochy. I do think that the move to bring in Pennington, a rookie, in a 1-run game was not the best. I will say that. Just imagine if our starters didn't pitch well, we would be way under 500. That is so true. You got to continue to show love to the starting pitching. They carried us through such a large portion of that first half. That's why you don't see me really going off on any starting pitcher having a bad night. They pitched so well for the first 112 games of this season. There's been a few off nights here and there, but I'm not going to blame the pitching too much. I'm really not. By the way, appreciate everybody that's followed and subscribed. I'm just weaving my way back through all the TikTok comments that I may have missed. I think I got them all. I think I got them all, but I'm going to keep scrolling a little bit further. So hang on one sec. TikTok's making me do some weird verification thing to stay online. All right. Almost there. Yep. Made it through. Got a few new messages here. Yeah, guys, I really do feel like at the end of the day, it's going to keep going back to the offense. The offense has got to make a difference in these ball games where the pitching isn't completely on point. But as we just heard from a comment on TikTok, it's got to be a better effort from the bats when the pitching is a little bit off. I'm not going to be blaming the pitching a whole lot. They have carried this team a majority of this season at this point. All right, y'all. Let me go ahead and start signing off for today. I want to say a special thank you to everybody watching live, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. Speaking of Instagram, I'll check some comments there. Doesn't look like we have anything new on Insta. So we are going to start winding this down. I do want to ask again, if you're not following, you're not subscribed to the channel, to the account, please do so. Hit that notification button. Stay up to date every time we go live. That way you can tune in. We're here pretty much within half an hour, I would say, post game after every Rangers win and loss. I would love if you kept up with us in that way. Then also all of our latest and greatest content that we put out, you can stay up to date with that as well. If you know somebody that loves the Rangers, loves baseball, tell them about the channel. Tell them about the account. Share one of my videos with them. I would be much appreciative. We'll see y'all tomorrow night, hopefully after a Rangers win against the Astros. I do think we're going to try and go live during some of the Astros games. So we will see. Maybe I can hit you up in the eighth inning, ninth inning. If you can do maybe the phone and the TV or the laptop and the TV, iPad TV at the same time while the game's going, come hang out with us while we finish out some of these Astros Rangers games in the Silver Boot series. So we'll try and do that for at least one, maybe two of the games in the Astros Rangers series. That's the plan. And like I said, hopefully we're coming at you during some Rangers victories. Let's flush this one out. Look forward to the rest of the games coming up this week. Hopefully if you're in the DFW area, you can make it out to one of these games. I hope they pack Globe Life Field and we can get back on track, back into this division race. Let's do it. All right, guys. We will see y'all later. Hope you have a great rest of your Sunday and a great week ahead. Hope to see you on one of the lives in the coming days. If not, watch me on the replay, perhaps. And hopefully you can check us out at some point this week during another Rangers postgame show. All right, as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.